Hello everyone and welcome back to The Stager Place. We've hit series 2 now on the podcast, where we are still chatting to theatre professionals from around the industry, and I hope that you're keeping safe. Whether or not you're still working from home, working in an office, going to school, university, colleges, I hope that everything is going well for you guys, and I hope that you've been listening throughout the podcast and have enjoyed what we've been producing since we started back in April. Recently, you may have seen from one of our latest giveaways that we have started a Twitter account. You can follow us at The Stagey Place, and it's going to be a little bit different to what we do on Instagram. So Instagram, we mainly do the episode releases, whereas on our Twitter, we'll be looking at more of the behind the scenes extras. So it will mainly be us in conversation with the guests, as well as little waveforms, which we've been producing anyway, as we've started the Twitter account, to give people a little bit of a taste of what's been going on in the episodes. So please do feel free to check us out over on Twitter, as we've also been posting about the shows which we've been going to see since theatre has started to come out of the darkness and come into the light. So let's start with series 2, where rather excitingly, and I know I've been talking a lot about this on social media, we finally had our first in-person interview with Tom Willits, who is a youth theatre and mindfulness practitioner. I've known Tom for a couple of years now. He is based in Gloucestershire, and I'm really excited for you to hear what he has to say about the educational side of the industry and also where his stagey place might be. Hello Tom, welcome to The Stage Place. How are you doing today?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Just made it in time with the horrible weather that we seem to be having in our summer, but all good. Excited to be on the show and chat about everything.
Really. I'm excited to have you here because this is the first time I've been able to have somebody in the room since early March. So this is kind of crazy that we're together, finally, yeah. Because I know that recently you went on holiday, didn't you?
Yeah, so I went over to Spain for a couple of weeks just for a break, sort of as everything calmed down. And then obviously while I was out there, the government announced the new quarantine rules, so we obviously had to postpone the recording again.
Yeah.
So yeah, finally here, ready to go. But yeah, it was a lovely holiday. But obviously we were back to square one when we got back with the 2 weeks, but...
Yeah.
You've got to do what you've got to do, haven't you?
And so, just on that, like, how does that actually get monitored? Do you have to, like, just say where you're going to be for those 2 weeks and then that's kind of it?
Yeah,
like,
so we had to fill out a locator form, which you can put so many addresses on, obviously, for families that go from different homes or parents' issues. Yeah, so you fill out the form, your address, your contact details. They check that at the airport, make sure you quarantine, and then it's 2 weeks at home. It was a very strange feeling, obviously, coming back from a national lockdown to then coming out and then going back in it by yourself.
Yes,
was quite strange.
Because that phrase of "we're all in this together" suddenly doesn't become it because you're the
but
one that
it allowed me to sort of get back from holiday mode a little bit quicker and get some work done rather than going straight into something else. So in one way it was beneficial in terms of being able just to sort of settle back in, but then like you say, it was just sort of me and obviously the people that I went with were then back in our little lockdown and everyone else was just carrying on. So
we've had the Eat Out to Help Out scheme over August, and that's kind of not been something that you've been able to do.
So I've missed the first couple of weeks of that, which was very obviously looking at Instagram and people's Facebooks, Twitter, social media, seeing I've got this and that for this amount of money. So over the last week or so, I've made sure that I've took full advantage of it.
Yeah.
And I think there's one day left on Monday. So hopefully.
Yes. Bank holiday Monday.
Bank holiday Monday. So hopefully get one more.
Yeah, and I've heard that a couple of the restaurants in London anyway, I know that we're not based in London, but a couple of restaurants are looking at extending it because it's been so
good.
Yeah,
it's been a great scheme, I think.
Yeah.
People going out when they wouldn't normally be able to go out, or obviously just taking time to spend time with people as well out when you don't usually on a Monday night when you come in from work or...
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been really good.
Amazing. Well, Tom, that's just a little bit about the current.
Yeah,
let's go straight back to the past. And for listeners who may not know who you are, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into theatre?
Yeah, of course. So obviously I'm Tom. I'm based obviously in Gloucestershire. And my journey through theatre up to this point today has been a very long and winding one with lots of different experiences, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But my first ever sort of experience of theatre really was probably, well, the first ever is probably when I was really, really young. And my older sister was part of a dance school, and I can remember sort of going to shows when I was younger and experiencing that for the first time. And then from then up until sort of when I was in year 9, so about sort of 13, 14, that's when I sort of started to be slightly interested in drama at school and theatre and performance. And I went on then obviously to start doing it a little bit more at school. So yeah, my first sort of experience of theatre was obviously, like I said, when I was really young, and then going into the school sort of atmosphere and being introduced to the subject of drama and school shows and school performances. So that was my sort of first real experience of it. And then obviously since that point, I've studied the A-level, went off to university, dabbled on the boards, doing a bit of acting, a bit of writing. And now obviously my work in Gloucester now as a youth theatre practitioner is sort of where I've set up my camp as a professional.
Yeah, and before you went off to university, which you went to the Aberystwyth Uni to do drama and theatre studies, you took the gap year to become a performer with GYTC, Gloucester Youth Theatre Company, and the Jenny Wren Productions, alongside working as an usher at the Overman Theatre in Cheltenham. From these experiences, what do you think has led you to decide in continuing the theatre studies with Aberystwyth University from everything that you did in the gap year?
Yeah, so the gap year was a really, really important one, I think, for me. I can remember taking my A-levels and not sort of achieving those grades that I really wanted, and sort of lost my way a bit in terms of education, whether that was my next step that I wanted to do. And that's when I sort of stumbled across GYTC, which was run by Mike Greenman at the time, which was a great youth theatre based in Gloucester, just sort of establishing with some different groups across Gloucester. And Mike had previously come into school and got in contact and done a few workshops, and I sort of always remembered the name, so to speak. So when I had that gap year, I sort of got back in touch with Mike. He invited me along to do a sort of a bit of work experience alongside a bit of sort of acting and performing, but I was sort of at the top end of the age level for the youth theatre, so it was a bit of a nice mix alongside experiencing sort of their work as youth theatre directors and creators, as well as performing, and that sort of struck the sort of first light of interest. And then I moved on, obviously, like you say, to work at the Everyman, which sort of opened my eyes to the world of professional theatre, watching shows sort of 7 days a week, which was really obviously a great experience and very lucky. And also working on the other side of theatre. So I had all these sort of experiences coming from youth theatre, performing, front of house at a big theatre, obviously in Cheltenham, and then obviously watching professional theatre as well. So I had all this stuff going around in my mind thinking, okay, this is what I want to do, but what part of it do I want to do?
Well, yes.
And obviously Jenny Wicks, who runs Jenny Wren Theatre Company, is still working at the Everyman. And at the time I was there, obviously I sort of stated my interest as a young performer, and was very lucky to be a part of one of her professional shows in Cheltenham. That's when I sort of met and worked alongside a lot of sort of great actors. John Legg was one of them, Vinnie Heaven as well. And that was just a great experience. Yeah. And that's sort of when, again, the last sort of nail went in and thought, okay, performing is what I want to do. And just having all that inspiration around me of professional performers, professional theatre spaces, touring companies, and sort of, I can remember being 17, 18, working at the Everyman and spending most of my time probably annoying theatre companies in the green room asking questions.
Yeah.
And just being that guy that was always there. But that sort of ignited my passion for it. And that's when I decided, right, I will continue to go on to university, and drama and theatre is something that I want to do. And that's why I picked Aberystwyth University, really. I auditioned at a few drama schools the year before. I was very young. I can remember auditioning at Lipper in Liverpool when I was 17. And there were people there that were sort of nearly like double my age and had done lots of stuff. And I was sort of like really out of my depth. And then when I went to visit Aber and I saw the course of drama and theatre, and there were so many modules. It was performing, it was directing, and it was a really individualised approach to your studies. And I thought, considering I've been going round and round forever, that's something, probably the perfect course. So yeah, all that inspiration, and then obviously led me to Aberystwyth to study it properly and get a really good idea of how crazy world works.
Yeah, and was it, because I know that we spoke beforehand, we had a pre-interview a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about one of the drama school interviews that you went for, and you were one of the youngest people at that interview, which now sounds crazy because it feels like everyone just wants to be auditioning every single year, and it's not like when you're 17 or 18, you're the youngest person by quite a mile, you know, auditioning. So what was that like as an experience? Because that must have been your first year auditioning for those drama schools. What was that like to kind of have that kind of feeling that actually, if you went, you would have been one of the youngest people, whereas now it just completely doesn't feel like
it's
that.
It was a very strange experience. Like I said, I obviously, I did GCSE and I did A-level drama. Yeah. And I was in and around sort of these theatre companies around my local area. And when I sort of took the leap to start auditioning for drama schools, I didn't really know, firstly, what to expect. It's not like, obviously, I work at a secondary school now and we have children that, and young people that are in GCSEs and A-levels and they want to audition for drama school. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's the known, you've got to do a monologue and maybe perform a song or a group performance. But little me at 17 years old, which I was the only one that I knew in probably a 20-mile radius that wanted to go to drama school, it was a very strange experience. I can remember going to Lipa in Liverpool and being dropped off by my mum and dad and walking in and this grand old building and obviously everyone that looked like they should be at drama school. And then I can remember I felt like I didn't fit in at first.
Yeah.
And I can remember we had to queue, this long snaking queue downstairs for the audition room, which was quite intimidating enough. Yeah, and the lady in front of me was 33 or 34. And obviously I was 17, 18. And I didn't speak to the chap that was a few steps in front of me, but he was probably around the same age. So it was a very strange experience. But I think looking back probably helped me in terms of being able just to have that confidence to throw myself into something, which is obviously really important. But it was a very strange experience, like you said. When you look back now, that's not the case anymore. Sort of 17, 18 year olds, drama school sort of everywhere. Back then it was very strange experience to be that young, be surrounded by older people and obviously people that I might have been auditioning for years, or being a professional already and wanted to do extra training or whatever it might be. So it was a very strange experience, but sort of a positive one, I think, looking back.
Yeah. And looking at your life now, you've gone in a different direction than performance. But going through university, was there then a shift in uni that actually made you realise that actually performance wasn't necessarily the goal that you wanted to aim for?
Yeah, I think the first year and probably half of the second year at university, it was still quite a performance goal.
Yeah.
I'd come from obviously working, like I said, at the Everyman and doing the little bits that I did performance-wise and thinking, right, this is still something that I wanted to do. But looking back, I don't know whether I wanted to do it or that's what I thought I should do, because I didn't really know any of the sort of other avenues. If I had to look at it now, I'd go to university with obviously knowing about performing, directing, writing, the whole wheel.
Yeah.
But first year and second year, I did a lot of performing modules and little performances. But probably sort of the thing that sort of flipped and I just sort of knew that performance wasn't the goal, it was probably about halfway through second year where we had to do a sort of a big end of year sort of performance module. And I can remember just not being interested.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember thinking, trying to figure out why I wasn't interested, but looking back, it was because I wasn't interested in performing anymore, I think. Yeah. And I had a few friends on the course that were doing up a few writing modules and a few out of sort of uni writing classes or whatever it was. And sort of that's when the sort of penny started to turn and think, okay, performance might not be the goal. Maybe looking at other parts of theatre, which is strange to say because 2 years into university of a drama degree, you probably think that I should know all the different avenues.
Yeah.
But it was very performance heavy up to that point. So I sort of had an idea about the different avenues, but didn't know which or how to explore them.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So it was probably towards the end of second year, start of my last year, where I started to think, right, let's pick something to focus on.
And I kind of went down the same route as well, because I went to Coventry University. And I didn't realise just how heavy it was on everything in the industry. Mm. And like, it really does push you, Coventry especially, it really just push you to kind of work for yourself. And like, it really just set you up in like a freelancer mode, because I think they know how difficult the industry is and they don't want everyone to be pushed to go and do acting and to, you know, go on to future studies and do drama schools. So they do like directed pieces and you can help out directing, especially the year after you graduate, you can be invited back or you can, you know, volunteer to come back and work directed. You know, you set up your own company in third year. You know, it really is like the first year is a lot of devising with like little groups and stuff, and there is a lot of acting, but obviously you've got theatre history studies and stuff. And then and then it completely opens up within second and third year, because they know more about who you are, and they then go,
right, let's look at setting up a company with you guys. Let's do like a mini rural tour. Yeah. We went around loads of schools and we did like little folktale stories. And it was just amazing because it was all about then the actual production side of it rather than the performance side of it. Mm. And that sounds very much like what you went through.
Yeah, very similar experience, especially third year. Like you said, it really opened up and that's where the different sort of avenues were explored. And that's where the writing side of things, I shifted over to the writing side of the course, so yeah. to speak. So instead of full performance or a dissertation at the end, it was a full stage play that you had to write. And looking back now, it was a crazy decision because I never sort of put pen to paper on anything.
Yeah.
So to have 3 or 4 months to write a full stage play, which had to have X, Y, and Z amount of characters and this and that. But that was a really good experience because not only was the module about writing this full stage play, they also had professional writers come in to shadow you on it as well.
Oh, great.
And you could use the guys that were doing their performance module to give them little extracts to perform, and that's when the directing side of it came in as well. So it was like a whole sort of process, not just sort of sat there typing or writing away. It was a really sort of a rounded process, and that's when you started to see how theatre could be put together. Yeah. So yeah, a very similar experience in terms of, like you say, they know how difficult the performance route can be for some people. So how about looking at this or that?
Yeah.
And that was a really positive experience towards the end of my studies. So.
Yeah. And writing during that time actually became quite a big thing for you because you set up your own soap blog, didn't you? Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was very, again, that was one of, I'm sure the listeners will agree at the end that I've had so many avenues that I could probably be a map myself. But yeah, so it was towards the end, middle of third year, I was doing the full stage play. Didn't really have a lot else to do because it was towards the end of uni, you've got your one big thing left to do, go and do it. And that was the time when EastEnders was the thing on everybody's lips. It was the Who Killed Lucy Beale storyline. Me and my housemates always used to watch like EastEnders and quiz programs just throughout the day whilst we were typing away on laptop. And I've always been into soaps. Probably got my mum to blame for that one. I started watching EastEnders really, really sort of vividly from sort of like January of my third year. And it got to sort of end of January and one of my housemates said, why don't you have a look at doing like a blog or something? And that was when blogs were starting to sort of like seep through as being really interested. So yeah, I set up the EastEnders blog site, which was called Warford Watch. Do people watch in Warford?
Yeah.
And it just went crazy and took off. I didn't know what I was really doing, but from a marketing side of things, I did start it up on the week of all of the episodes, which linked up to Lucy Beale's killer reveal. So yeah, and we ended up reaching America and everything. And I ended up writing articles for an EastEnders fan newspaper in America.
Which I think is insane because America and places of war don't get the same episodes at the same time, do
yeah,
they?
So they
They're
were
like
so many
years
behind.
Back on.
Yeah, so I was writing articles about, if people watch EastEnders, about like Max Brannan when it came out at Christmas that he was having the affair with Stacey, which was like 8 years previous.
Yeah.
So obviously I had a Twitter and Instagram account for it as well and suddenly had about 600 American followers. So I had to be very careful of what I was sort of putting out, always putting warnings on because I would be putting on Who Killed Lucy. But
and you may not even been introduced to the new version of Lucy.
So but it seemed to be a really good hit. And I started having some of the cast follow the blog and some of the script writers follow the blog. And that's what you said. The opportunity came up, I saw towards the end of third year, like a junior writing job on EastEnders. And I thought, I'll apply. You had to have sort of script editing experience and script writing experience. And I thought, right, I've just finished my first stage play. So that box ticked in my head. I'll just apply. And luckily enough, the guy, Alex Lamb, he just done Ackley Bridge, I think Channel 4 or Channel 5, script editor on that, was at EastEnders at the time. And he was a big sort of follower of the blog, would retweet it and all of the other stuff. Yeah, so I put in the interview process, application process, put all about the sort of blog in there, and then got an email to say, oh, you've been chosen for interview. I thought, well, okay, great. And I think it was about 800 people that applied, and it was 30 people chosen for interview. So I thought, oh, that's great. I'll go down to wherever the interview is going to be. I'll go there and just give it my best shot. And this, I was still in the height of like, EastEnders was the best thing ever. So when I got the email to say that the interview was at EastEnders, Yeah, I can't even remember how I reacted, but it was a very exciting time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I went to the interview and it was really exciting. You obviously got to go around the set and everything like that and meet some of the cast and the writers. And again, going back to the drama school audition, I was one of the youngest there by a mile and one of the least experienced there. And you had to sort of pitch a new story idea to four of the panel. One of them was one of the executive producers as well.
Yeah.
We got put into little groups. Someone on my group was an audio story editor in Hollyoaks. And I was like, oh, I'm just out of university. So you can imagine it was a very strange experience. It got split halfway in the day. Unfortunately, obviously, I didn't make it. But again, that was another great experience, which I could add to the basket of, okay, I've worked in a professional theatre. I know that side of things. And now I've gone to one of the most well-known programmes, arguably, in the world. Yeah. Everyone knows the name and experienced the day there of the writing side of things as well. Yeah. So, it's not running anymore, the blog, unfortunately. It's still active on Twitter and things. It's still got like nearly 2,000 followers. Wow. But yeah, gone on to other things which have unfortunately occupied my time.
Yeah.
I still watch it from time to time.
But yeah.
Yeah, I used to live tweet Christmas Day episodes and everything. So
after your Christmas meal, dinner.
That's what the fans wanted.
Yeah, and obviously that's kind of the writing and that's kind of the EastEnders blog. Yeah. And then obviously you left university. And you were still closely connected to GYTC again, just like pre-uni, with some of your writing credits being staged at the Star College in Ullamwood. What was that like being commissioned with a piece of your writing now that you've left uni? You've had that first big stage play, and now you've gone and been commissioned to do another piece with the company that you were associated with before uni.
Yeah, so it was a very exciting time. I obviously came back from uni and got back in touch with GYTC and Mike Greenman. And Mike kept true to his word and gave me a job at the Youth Theatre as a sort of assistant facilitator, but I was very much learning on my feet with that. But again, I was back in the theatre environment and back working, not obviously it was only a couple of nights a week, but back working in that environment, which it was important for me straight out of uni. I didn't want to just fall into like a sort of job just to get me by. I wanted to still be involved in theatre. So I was working with the Youth Theatre alongside some other practitioners. And at the end of every sort of term or end of every year, the Youth Theatre would put on a big performance that parents obviously pay money and friends and family or whoever else pay money to come and see. And that was when we thought of doing sort of a devised piece with the guys in the Youth Theatre, which then I would go away and write up. And it turned out to be about a group of school children that have gone on a trip and stranded on this desert island. And it was a very sort of like
Lord of the Flies.
Very sort of similar style. But yeah, it was a very exciting time because obviously it was, I think that was June, July 2016, so four years ago, standing sort of backstage watching the words that I've put to paper being said to, it was a paying audience of mostly friends and family.
Yeah.
But yeah, the children and the young people in the youth theatre sort of created the idea, so to speak. And then I went away and put their words to paper and adjusted it and everything. So to have sort of my name on a script and people coming and watching it. And I can remember there was one joke that I came up with that I thought I'd put in it. And I can remember being stood in the wing and the young person delivered it. And it was just laughter across.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to go the other direction.
So did I when I was stood in that wing 4 years ago. But yeah, the laughter across the room. And I can remember just sort of like, I held it together, but I thought, you know, that's such a good feeling. Luckily, it was only one night. So if it was a couple of nights, it might have gone the other way. But yeah, that was an exciting time. It was like, okay, I sort of 6 months into a job within a youth theatre, and a piece of writing has been performed to friends and family that have paid to watch it. And that sort of started my journey as sort of involved in youth theatre, and sort of that took me on that new path of sort of what I wanted to do. So yeah, that was a great, really great time.
Yeah, and obviously youth theatre and everything and mindfulness and all this has continued throughout 2016 that we were just chatting about then. Why do you believe that drama and youth work is so vital to an individual's growth, especially within this industry? And what advice would you have to those who want to build confidence and achieve a career within the performing arts?
Yeah, so that's a very good question.
Thank you.
Yeah, like you said, I've continued my youth theatre work now with Strikelight, a theatre company based in Gloucester. Great theatre company, do a lot of work for local community and allow a lot of people to see theatre, and especially in Gloucester. like going back to when I was growing up, there was hardly anything, and now obviously Strike a Light have created so many different performances and artists and just do a lot of work in the community. So obviously my work with them now as a youth theatre practitioner is great. And like I said, mentioned previously as well, I work at Churchtown Secondary School in Gloucestershire, doing all the wellbeing stuff there. So they sort of go hand in hand, those two, in terms of obviously I work, my whole life is based around working with young people pretty much, and, mm-hmm. and obviously especially now in this day and age, wellbeing and mental health, especially off the back of what's happened, is very important. So I feel to be in a very privileged position in terms of working with the amount of young people that I do and what I do. But obviously that's come from the journey that I've had as well. If you said to me sort of that time before I went to uni that in 2020 you'd be working with young people, I would have probably said, oh, not sure. But all that confidence that drama and theatre has gave me is now what I'm trying to give back to these young people, which is great. And like I said, I think it's just drama, youth work, whatever it might be, theatre, performance is just so vital for any individual, right? Whether you're at the start of your journey or at the end of the journey. But like I said, especially if you take my journey, for example, being right at the start of it where I didn't know where to go or what to do.
Yeah.
And then sort of went all down these different avenues. And the main thing that I say to the people in the youth theatre at Strike Light all the time is that it doesn't just have to be one road or one avenue. And if you get to the end of the performance road, that doesn't mean the end of it. I think that's a sort of a thing that is quite common, I think, that people think anyway. It's quite a common thing. If you don't make it as a performer, that's it. But there's so many different avenues to explore, and everything you get along the way, confidence wise growth in yourself, will help you go down those different avenues. And the advice I would probably say to build confidence and achieve a career is, it sounds sort of so cliche, but you just gotta believe and just go for it. Like we've said and discussed, I started as that little shy person that went to university, and now and sit here today talking to you as a professional youth theatre practitioner, and obviously my work in the school, and I've just recently launched my own theatre company, Diamond Drama, in the Gloucestershire area, and that's purely based along delivering workshops to young people in schools, and all the drama and theatre workshops are based on sort of emotional wellbeing and personal mm-hmm. growth, self-esteem and things like that. So I would say you just obviously you've got to believe in yourself. I don't think I've had much luck along the way, really. I've just sort of kept going and kept sort of grinding away, and if something didn't work I went the other way. Keep going, have a lot of confidence in your own sort of abilities, whether that's performing or talking to people or directing or technical side of things, whatever it might be. And keep the people that you know that are going to help you close to you.
Yes.
Like I've said before, obviously I met Mike Greenman that worked at the GYTC when I was in sixth form, and sort of kept him close. So when I came out of university, there was a contact. So contacts are very important.
Yeah.
Personally, I think just have the confidence to achieve whatever you want to achieve, and it doesn't matter whether that's a small goal of performing once at your local village hall or writing a performance for Edinburgh or whatever it may be. Just have a lot of confidence and you will get somewhere someday.
Yeah.
Everyone knows in this industry it might happen overnight, or it might happen in 10 years or 20 or whatever it may be, but just have, like I said, that confidence and build up your skill set as well. I would say make sure you've got that strong skill set of, if you're a really good performer, try a bit of facilitating or directing, or vice versa. So just having that really strong skill set, confidence, and a good contacts book helps sometimes as well.
And for teachers who may be listening to this podcast, how can they get involved with the workshops that you are doing with the vocational side of education?
So we've just recently launched on social media. So if on Twitter, it's Diamond Drama Zero, I think, because someone already randomly had Diamond Drama with nothing to do with anything. Diamond Drama Zero on Twitter, or on Instagram just Diamond Drama, and obviously I'm sure when you're listening to this there'll be details around anyway. So just get in touch and we will be able to sort of help you out as best as we can. We're just running the project at the moment because obviously we can't do workshops currently, where we are just doing like 10-minute talks. So I'm sending out questions to teachers about why they think drama is powerful and why it should be at the forefront of the curriculum and education. We've reached schools in Armenia and Dubai and things like that, so that's going to be all coming out soon as well, so I'm sure you'll see that on social media. But we're very much a company that want to help and want to push drama as a tool that can help any young person.
Yeah.
Because I can remember when I was at school and we'd have people come in and do workshops, and when I was year 7 and 8, there is that stigma that drama's not cool or performance is not cool. But it's helped me and it's helped so many other people, and we want to sort of put that hand in hand. Mm. So yeah, just get in touch and we can show you how we can help, hopefully.
Yeah, and I know you've literally just touched up on it then about you asking these teachers these questions. Mm. So let me ask the question to you. Why do you believe that drama is so important for GCSE and A-level to stay on the curriculum?
Yeah, I think it's from the moment a child steps into school to the moment they leave, I think they should have as much access to a creative output as possible.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be through drama on the stage. That can be through like the technical side of things at GCSE level, lighting management. I just think it's so important, and it's the C word I use all the time, that confidence building. Being able to stand up on a stage and perform a monologue or work as a group. I think people see it as you're doing a performance, but there's so many hidden skills behind that, whether that's being able to talk to someone or problem solve or your communication skills, language skills, how you can hold your body in an interview to portray you in the best possible light.
Yeah.
Anything. Yeah, I could talk for absolute hours on it. And I think when I read things about it's going to be taken off the curriculum or hours are going to be reduced, I think if that ever happened, it'd be a travesty. I just think it can be so powerful for young people, the same way as writing can be, or colouring, or whatever it may be, for a child's confidence and self-esteem and self-worth and that positive emotional well-being and the journey it can take you on as well. And obviously if you become really successful in it, then it can be your career and your life. So I just think it's so important on there for so many of the basic reasons, like I've said, that those social skills up into the point of it can be your career as well.
Yeah,
I think it should be at the forefront, not being spoken about, being taken on.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is just, I know you said it is the confidence, isn't it? It
can be so powerful.
Yeah, because it's also the confidence in just going for a job. Like, you need to go to interviews to get a job, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're only going to really do that if you've been able to, you know, maybe stand up on that stage in year 8, year 9 in front of your peers and you're able to talk about your own words maybe, and it's not a scripted piece. And then, you know, like, yeah, you have to go for interviews with strangers that you've never met, and maybe on a panel, you may have to sit there by yourself with a panel of 4. It's basically like an audience.
Like an audience, everything, like anywhere you go, you've got an audience.
Yeah.
And like I've said before, if I don't think I had got involved in drama and theatre has shaped my work today, whether that was just performing it or studying it. Being able to work at where I work now and stand up in an assembly and lead 300 odd kids that are in my house, I would have never ever been able to do that if it wasn't standing up on stage with that first bit of paper shaking like a leaf.
Yeah.
But you do it and you get that confidence and you great. I always say it's like when you work out or when you do an exercise class.
Yeah.
It's that nervousness of not wanting to do it. And then you do it and you feel amazing. And I think that's what performing or writing or directing or just theatre can do.
Yeah. And so as we move over to the final question, every single guest that I've had on, series based, I've been asking them where their stagey place is.
Okay.
So this may be theatre that you first saw your production in. It may be the Star College where you first had your first written piece. It may be the Everyman. It may be somewhere in Aberystwyth. You know, I don't know. But tell me, Tom, where your stagey place is.
It's a very difficult one. When you were starting to say that question, the cogs were starting to go in my brain.
Yeah.
I was going to say the Everyman purely because that's where the interest was fully sparked.
Yeah.
In terms of theatre and drama, but I might go a bit sort of to the left a little bit and say that sort of my stagey place is being in the middle of a circle at the youth theatre.
Yeah.
And running a game or doing an exercise that might inspire the next person to go and do it. So yeah, I think when you've got the young people around you and you're about to start to deliver an exercise or a game or a technique, I think that's my stagey place. It's not really a place, but
no,
okay.
No, that's absolutely fine. You know, it's somewhere that, like you say, asking that question, saying the stagey place, it's the first thing that comes to your mind.
Yeah, I think that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's what jogs the memory and what makes you think, this is why I do the career.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what I get when I'm in that circle or that space at youth theatre. And whether that's with the young group where they're like 5, 6, 7 and they're looking back at you like this game of splat is the best thing I've ever seen. Or up
until, since that point.
Up until when you're working with 17, 18 year olds on a physical theatre technique or an improvisation workshop, sort of that look and that connection that you get back where they go, okay, this is something I want to do or definitely want to try out.
That's
the place where I think the whole journey was worth it, and whatever happens next, I'm pretty content with the last couple of years and where I've got to, even though it's been a very long sort of winding journey. But yeah, that's definitely the play, I think.
Yeah. Well, Tom, thank you so much for coming onto the Stage of Place.
Thank you for having
me. And for being here in person as well.
It's great.
It's absolutely great. It still feels a bit weird because, you know, we've had like 10, 11 episodes where we've been virtually over Zoom or over StreamYard.
Yeah.
And then, you know, only having Maisie at the beginning of March as my only in-person interview.
Very nice to have a chat with someone in person. Not through a screen.
Because now I know that the audio quality issues that we may have over Zoom and over StreamYard won't happen here.
Right.
Because I can see the audio wave going at the moment and it seems to be going absolutely perfectly. So I think we'll be okay. For people who want to contact you or anything, over social media, I know you spoke a little bit earlier on about some of the channels. I don't know if or not you want to let us know again where you can contact.
So you can, if you're interested in the workshops that Diamond Drama can offer, that's Diamond Drama Zero on Instagram and just Diamond Drama on Twitter or Facebook. I do also put quite a lot of links and things like wellbeing stuff on my personal Twitter page, which is Tom Willits 12. Hopefully I've got that right. But yeah, get in touch. But yeah, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
No worries, and obviously we'll put all of that on social media as well for people to contact you. But once again, Tom, thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much.
And there we go, that was Tom Willits there kicking us off with Series 2 of The Stage of Place. I'd like to thank Tom once again for coming into the studio, the actual studio. I promise that's the final time I'll talk about this. It was a real joy to have him on, and I really hope that you've enjoyed the episode. We'll be releasing episodes fortnightly now, so every 2 weeks. And next up, we have Bryony Rose on the 7th of October. So until then, I've been Elliot, you've been listening to The Stagey Place. And until next time, I hope you're keeping safe, and I look forward to hear from you soon.